Hello,
I'm Tamara, and I'd like to start off by thanking everyone at the museum who organized this. It's a pleasure to be here. And everyone who came out, I hope you have a great time. So basically, when I meet people and they ask me what I do, I tell them that I make these drawings, which are a combination of urban landscape and brightly colored geometric patterns. And most people seem to think that this comes from an education in architecture on some level. But actually, it comes from being a committed city dweller and trying to figure out what it is that how the built environment shapes how we behave, how we think, and what we do back to it, what we love, what we hate, what we repurpose, what we discard. So I started to pick different pieces of cities and make these recognizable yet schematic drawings of parts meshed with these patterns, which started off as city grids and various blocks and urban planning tools. But eventually, as I did more and more of these, both the locations became very personal places that I lived or worked or hung out or visited, where I would go and make drawings and take photographs. And the patterns also kind of delve more into this optical serial geometry, which I thought was the basis for this kind of architectural construction anyway. So basically, you know, the viewer, as someone who lives in the city, has a kind of guided yet open-ended path they can take through the city. And then the next thing that happened, which seemed obvious, was to make the drawings themselves kind of building size. So they started to become kind of wall size within spaces and create rooms within rooms. You could walk through them and behind them. So they were of an opposing size, yet they were made out of a very fragile and kind of translucent material. So this one, for example, is a building that I see outside my studio window, which I'm totally fascinated with. And the installation was arranged as an X. The only difference is the front of it is fanned out and the back is more condensed. One side has the black rectangles and the other has the white dots. But what happens is, as you walk around and through the drawing, you start to construct your own permutations of these buildings, which the serial kind of Lego-like nature of this architecture, which is an architecture that everyone loves to hate, kind of reveals itself as you're walking around this drawing. And again, just to give you a context, this one is about 12 feet tall. Simultaneously with that, I was taking this interest in transparency and luminescence. I'd previously worked with plastics, so I started to make these light boxes with the same subject matter. This one is from a series called The Architectural Hit Parade of Houses. It is the oldest still standing vernacular building in the U.S. It's in Virginia. This is Times Square. And with the ones which had to do with public places and city squares, which was a developing narrative within this body of work, one thing that was really fascinating to me was the role of advertising, and I was kind of jealous at the top billing that ads get. They get the best locations, they have the best budgets, they have fantastic technologies. So I was cribbing a kind of advertising format, both in terms of the poster-like quality of the images and the light boxes, and putting them back on themselves. This one, for example, is the entrance to the Holland Tunnel. And just to give you a kind of insight into places that I thought were interesting, it was fascinating to me that you had all these different types of buildings jammed in. So again, the installations were getting bigger and bigger, and I wasn't really satisfied with only constructing within the space. So this is kind of the first public art piece. It's signed vinyl directly on the window, and it's done both inside and outside the space. This is the interior view, obviously. Both color schemes are different. It's Times Square again. And the interesting thing in this piece is that since it's done on glass, the blank pieces started to form patterns around the space, and they kind of start to act like a sundial, which made the piece even more sculptural and changing and kind of time-based as the day went along. And this is an image from an installation done with a similar technique, but much later. And something that to me was truly urban is that there are locations where there's enough ambient light at night to get the same kind of ghostly drawings that you have during the day, although the rhythm of this, and it really does have a rhythm that pulses and changes over time, is very different than one during the sun. So the light boxes were also going in this direction of construction and, you know, being situated in a particular location. The view here is from the former Bear Stearns building, looking down on the MetLife building. And that's a kind of view which only a privileged few sadly get to see. So you were looking up, looking down. And I really discovered in that piece that almost no one looks up in the gallery. And here, yet another one. another one in Times Square. And as opposed to the previous pieces where the pattern was kind of holding up the city, in this one, the city is melting into its constituent parts in the pattern. And that led me to a period where I was trying to try and investigate what the importance of the subject matter, the imagery, was in order to convey the subject matter. So I made a few, including this wall drawing, which are totally abstract. For me, this is a kind of abstraction of Space Invaders, which also embodied those serial, repetitive, binary kind of geometries. And at the same time, I was invited to do a project with the school, so you got the flip side of abstraction. This is maybe the most concrete thing that I'd done in a long time, where you get the very obvious subject matter, but it does refer directly to things that the kids were doing in the school in terms of geometry and all of that, and also their kind of after-school interests, although we had an interesting cultural parallel where for them those kind of obvious geometric games are really dated. So the next stage up was kind of going again back to this notion of advertising and words we see written all over the city. What do you do? So I started to incorporate both these very short kind of slogans and make the light boxes much more advertising-like in their shape. So they're clearly cribbed from commercial sources. This was another public piece, which was done in the garment district. And what was interesting to me there was that you have remnants of advertising of the old garment makers when they would write their names in huge letters directly on the sides of the buildings. And so I use that as a kind of signing device. And the final two slides are from my latest body of work, which are these video pieces. They started off being kind of screen saver length, trying to create something which was pulsing and flickering, which seemed to be an obvious extension of the work, but is much harder than you would think. And they've wind up now in the music video format, where they include performances by real musicians coupled with this kind of geometry coming and going through the space. And they answer a question that someone asked me a long time ago, which is, where are the people in these cities that I make?